awesome. Don't you love that song? I hope and I believe that there are things in your life that you're believing for, that there are things in your life right now that seem impossible. But God is the God of impossible, right? So we see things in the natural, but when God gets in the equation, it becomes supernatural. And I just love that song. Every time we say that, we're really saying, this is my future. This is my preferred future, is what we're saying. This is going to happen. And so I just want to encourage you guys, every time, man, that you come here, you sing, you worship, but a song like that, man, it's a faith declaration. And here's what happens. Here's what the enemy knows. When you and I speak, our words shape our worlds, right? And it shifts things. It shifts the atmosphere. So I love that. I want to welcome everybody. Turn around. Say good morning, would you? To a couple people around you, high five. Dab them up. Whatever your deal is, say good morning. We're glad you're here. We're so glad that you're here. All right. I want you to stay standing. I want you to stay standing. We got a preacher in the house today. I'm telling you, Pastor Zach Wyatt from San Antonio, the Great Revolution Church, is in the house. And I could say so much, but we're blessed, guys. Man, our church got to have the voice of Scotty Blanchard, the deaf shepherd, speak to our church. And I could not be more excited. I could not be more excited than to have Pastor Zach with us today. He is my friend. Him and Amber, they're the real deals. They're the real deal, man. They're the real deal. They love Jesus. They are building an amazing church. God's working through them. But you ought to see their church, guys. I spoke here in October at their church, and they had four services back to back to back to back on Sunday. So I show up, and I'm thinking, okay, the early service, you know, normally sometimes a little light. It wasn't light. It was full. Second one was full. Third one was full. And then I thought, well, I wonder if the later one, you know, no, it was full too, man. They are doing incredible things. And my friend is in the house today, Pastor Zach White. Give him a huge momentum. Church, welcome.
Such a great message, man.
All right, why don't you stay standing for just a second? It was only full at those four services because you were preaching. When it's me, it's not full at all, bro. Hey, I'm excited to be here with you again. Momentum Church. It's always an honor to come speak. First time you get invited, huge honor, but bigger honor to be invited back, like for several years. Pastor Tim, I think you spoke at our church, I don't know, 5 years now or something like that. And it feels like family, doesn't it? It really does. It really does. There's so many similarities. So honored to be with y'all today. And, you know, I'm not sure about your pastor's choice in college football teams, but I am sure that he loves the Lord, he loves Jesus, and he loves you. Isn't it good to have incredible pastors, Pastor Tim and Stephanie? And y'all are in a season called Forward. Everybody say Forward. Forward. Oh, come on, one more time like you mean it. Forward. Forward. There you go. Isn't it good to have forward thinking, forward facing, forward moving pastors that will say, come on, church, let's move forward in the direction God has called us to go. Make some noise for your pastors one more time. Stay on your feet. We're going to talk about seeds today. Seeds. Turn to your neighbor, say seeds. And I want to read our scripture and then we'll pray and you can have a seat. Mark chapter 4. This is Jesus teaching on the kingdom of God. One of my favorite things to talk about. And here's what he said. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? And then this scripture has always blown my mind. Here's how Jesus decides to talk about the kingdom of God. You ready for this? He says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. I don't know if you can see it, but I'm holding one for real. Y'all in Navarre, men out in Blackwater, right there. It's in my fingers, I promise, okay? It is like a grain. Are y'all picking up on this? A tiny insignificant, puny, pathetic. What, Jesus? I've always been confused. Like, is this really what Jesus meant? It is like a teeny tiny little mustard seed. One. He didn't say a bunch. He didn't say a giant jar. He didn't say a tree. He said one. One little grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and it becomes what? Larger than all of the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. I want to call today's message, Put It in the Dirt. And my prayer before you leave today is that you will decide that whatever seed God has blessed you with, it's time to put it in the dirt and trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you today. Oh God, how we need you. We thank you that you've blessed us with so many different things that you would call seed in our lives. And God, we admit that sometimes we have not trusted you in faith. We have not sown the seed you have blessed us with. And so, Father, today I pray we would do business with you by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, where conviction needs to fall, it would fall. And thank you for conviction. It shows how much you love us, Father. It shows how much you care about us. It shows that you have provided wisdom and direction for us. And today we lean into that. God, we open your word together. We're ready to receive from it. Come on, if you're ready, just say, Jesus, I trust you. My heart is open. My mind is ready. In Jesus' name, amen. You can grab a seat. If you got your Bible, get it out. Got something to write on, grab that. And let's dive in. Show of hands, have you ever judged something or someone by how they look? Come on, don't lie in church. So many liars here today, it's not even funny. Not me, I've never judged anyone or anything. We've all done it, right? Like we judge something by its size or its stature. Like men, we totally do this. Like Steve, can you help me? Come up here real quick, Steve. Come up here. But just stop right there. Because look at what just happened. Every time I come to Momentum Church, first thing I do is spot this guy and see if I'm bigger than him yet. And I finally figured it out. I just got to be on the stage. Come up here. Look at this guy. This is insane. When I see him, I'm challenged. I'm challenged to grow better mustaches. I'm challenged to get bigger pectorals, bigger biceps. And every year when I come, I'm sizing them up. I'm like, this is going to be the, nope, not the year. Not the year. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for keeping me humble. Thanks for what you do at Momentum Church, but for me, just keeping me humble. I'm just saying, like, I'm just admitting, like, we love to size things up. We love to size people up, right? And it happens at school, happens at work, even happens in church, doesn't it? Have you ever looked down the row, there's some dude really worshiping, you're like, he must be so close to God. I wish I was closer. Look how high his hands are. Or you see someone walking their kids in and you're like, look at their kids. Look at how well-behaved their children are. Lord, help me. And what you don't know is we paid our kids off. That's what you don't know. We threatened them in the parking lot, right? The truth is we all know we don't have it together.
Yeah, that's right.
But we pretend like we do sometimes. And this is kind of part of what makes it difficult sometimes for us to understand Jesus, his kingdom, his church, the calling on our lives to move his kingdom forward, to move his church forward. And in Mark chapter 4 that we just read from, I think the disciples would have been kind of confused because of this exact same attitude. I think they would have been struggling. They would have had the same difficulty. It would have been hard for them to hear Jesus compare the coming kingdom to a single mustard seed, because they're thinking the Messiah is going to come. He's going to be a military leader. He's going to overthrow Rome. He's going to, you know, clean things up and put everything back together. And then Jesus comes and he says, the kingdom of God is like this, a tiny, vulnerable, fragile, insignificant, single mustard seed. And those guys, they didn't wake up that morning excited about seeds. You didn't wake up this morning getting dressed for church like, I hope they preach about seeds today. Nobody did that, right? And it seems like such a bad comparison for the kingdom of God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If I was Jesus, I would have said something different. I wouldn't have said, come and follow me. It'd be amazing like a mustard seed. I could have thought of way better things to say. But I think what's happening sometimes is just like the disciples here, like we forget about the power and the potential in a single little seed. We forget about what can come out of a seed in our lives. And we forget sometimes that the kingdom, natural stuff is supernatural stuff. Insignificant stuff is very important, significant stuff in the kingdom. Small is big in the kingdom. We can forget that sometimes, and we have to be careful that we don't start to doubt God or trust in our human logic or underestimate God's power and his purpose and the potential in every little seed he gives us. So Jesus says the kingdom's like that right there. Doesn't make much sense. But the kingdom won't always make sense. How many of you have learned that? Like if I had told Pastor Tim, hey, when I come preach, I'm gonna do this thing with seeds, and so I need the biggest mustard tree you can find on stage. Y'all would have walked in and been more impressed with that. Y'all would have been, wow, there's a tree on it. What are they gonna do? But nobody looked over and saw the seeds spread out on the table and started to get really excited about the talk, right? Yeah. And I'm just kind of pointing out, it seems a little confusing at first glance, right? Like when, the first time I ever read this scripture and was really studying it, I remember thinking, that's all you got, Jesus? A seed? I would have said the kingdom of God is like giant speakers at a rock concert and you're standing in front of it, it's melting your whole face off. That's what I would have said. And I think the problem is sometimes we're not careful. We're products of this humanistic way of thinking. We're products of the enlightenment, right? We want everything rational. And if we can't understand it or make sense of it or put it in a spreadsheet, we label it as foolish. But that's the thing about faith. It usually feels a little foolish. Amen? It doesn't always add up and it doesn't always make sense because you can't add God up. You can't explain God away. You can't cram God into a spreadsheet. We've got to remember that. And this is the essence of faith, that God defies logic. The kingdom doesn't always make sense. That's why we have to have faith, live by faith, move forward by faith, trust God in faith. That's the essence of faith. And so many times I think we miss out on miracles. I've caught it in my own life. So many times. Miss out on miracles and movements of God because I get into this way of thinking, well, if I can't make sense of it, then it might not be real. Or maybe, if I really want to be brutally honest, if I can't make sense of it, then I don't get to take any credit for it. But faith doesn't always make sense. If I can just be like honest before you, like I'm a pastor and I can't tell you why sometimes God heals that person but not that person. I can't explain that. I can't explain why one guy got to get on a boat with his family and two of every animal and the rest of the earth had to be wiped out by a flood. I can't explain that. I can't explain why another guy had to be swallowed by a whale. Like, I don't rationally understand these things. I don't rationally understand how a dead man got up out of the grave 3 days after he died, but I choose to believe all of these things by faith. I believe them by faith. They make zero logical sense, but I believe them by faith. Have you ever thought about how many things we're called to do as Christians that from a humanistic way of thinking make zero sense? Think about forgiving people. That don't make no sense. Somebody hurt you, makes zero sense to forgive them, right? Think about how little sense it makes to worship, to pray, to read your Bible. Again, from a humanistic way of thinking. Think about how little sense it makes to trust in a God that I don't ever get to even really see. It requires faith. Faith. I love Galatians 5:25, just to kind of get us in the right mindset, okay? It says, since we are living by the Spirit, that's what we're called to do as Christians. We live by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading. Where? Where, church? In every part of our lives, right? Every single area of our lives. Jesus held nothing back for us. Did you notice that? He bet his life against sin and death for us, and he won that bet. And he's a forward-moving God. He's called us and empowered us to be forward-moving people, forward-thinking people. We get to move the kingdom of God and his church forward step by step, just like Jesus as he's going to the cross. I think about him going to the cross. It was a forward step after a forward step. He knew what was coming. It was brutal. We get to reflect that. We get to do that same thing for his kingdom in our generation. And to move forward, we'll have to let go of human logic. We'll have to let go of a measure of control. We'll have to kneel before the Lord, fully surrender to the Lord. We'll have to sacrifice generously, and we'll have to sow the seed he's given us. So I'm calling today, put it in the dirt. Tell your neighbor, put it in the dirt. Put it in the dirt. Genesis 8 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. I love the rhythm in this verse. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, he says, will never cease. What God is teaching us here is that sowing, reaping, harvesting, these are laws of nature. They're like gravity. They are built in to the very essence of our universe. Okay, you can't change gravity, so you might as well learn to live with it, right? And you can't change sowing, reaping, and harvesting. So you might as well learn how this works. And the Bible says we reap what we sow. We all know that. There's four things. If you want to study this more later on, you can jot these down and go look them up in your Bible. But there's four things that the Bible calls seed. Okay, the first is the Word of God, and that's in Matthew 13. Second is the Holy Spirit, that's in 1 John 3. Third is money and your resources, that's in 2 Corinthians 9. And last is your actions or your decisions, and that's in Galatians 6. So we're gonna talk about seed today, and I just want you to think, when we say the word seed, what are we talking about? We're talking about what you do with the Word of God, what you do with your actions, what you do with the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and what you do with your money and the resources God has given you. And I couldn't find any mustard berries today. I'm not sure anybody would even know what the heck a mustard berry is. So we're just gonna use lemons. Is that cool with y'all? I feel like everybody recognizes this piece of fruit, okay? So the lemons are gonna represent the fruit or the finished product or the harvest, right? But to get here, to get to the fruit, we have to know what to do with the seed. Does that make sense? So let's talk about the seed. Let's talk about the life of a seed, okay? Some things we need to know about the seed in our life. Number one, a seed must be sowed. I would argue like a seed isn't actually even a seed until it actually gets sowed into the ground. A seed can only really be a seed if it's sown. A kept seed has no purpose. So I was in the feed store a few weeks ago picking some things up, and I went down the seed aisle. It's the saddest aisle in the feed store, right? Because none of the seeds want to sit in a package, right? If you're a seed, you don't want to sit in the package on the shelf. If you're a seed, your whole purpose is to go into the ground, be sown, and grow some fruit. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. It says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I just wanted to ask you today, Momentum Church, has God given you some seed and you've just left it sitting in your pocket? You're not sowing it. Nothing's happening with it. It could be resources, what the Word of God is telling you. Like, to be honest, a lot of Christians don't even read the Bible. So that seed's just sitting on the shelf, right? It could be the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It could be your actions. Is your seed sitting in the package? Because here's what I know. God won't grow it until you sow it. And if it's shoved away in your pocket or sitting back on the shelf somewhere, it's not getting sowed. And we all want God to grow it. Every one of us has an area of life where we're like, I wish God would do this. I'm waiting for a miracle over here. I wish God would grow in my life in this way. If you don't sow it, God won't grow it. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So it's God that gives the growth, but we're the ones that sow and plant and water. He says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. We are God's fellow workers. How cool is that? That God has chose us to be a part of this amazing process that leads to harvest. Like, you could say, at the end of the day, the kingdom is really about seeds and sowers. Because God gives us these seeds, but the seed can't really even be a seed until a sower sows the seed. So we sow, we work, we plant, we water, but only God makes it sprout and grow into the fruit he wants to see. And sometimes what happens is we try to take God's authority and we try to put in the super hard work to make something grow ourselves, but only God can do that. And some of us were worn out because we're trying to take God's authority in some area of our lives. We're trying to have authority over something we have no authority over. We're trying to have authority over something where God said, I got you. I'm the authority over that. It's all good. Just sow the seed and water it and trust me. Sow the seed and water it and trust me. Sow bountifully into the kingdom and watch me bring the growth that you're looking for. A seed has to be sowed. Okay, number two, a seed has got to yield to germinate and grow. I know it's a weird sermon, y'all. You're like, are you talking about farming or are you talking about Jesus? I can't figure it out. Well, Jesus talks so much about this, right? A seed has to yield to germinate and grow. Okay, so you may not know this, but if you study seeds, what you'll learn is they have this skin, basically, that has got to come off before the seed can germinate and grow. The growth can't happen till the skin comes off. And the skin doesn't come off till the seed goes into the dark soil. And I was thinking, man, that's so much like our lives. We have this really thick skin of sin. And that skin of sin has got to begin to break and come off of our lives in order for God to bring the growth that he wants to see in our lives. Until the skin of sin comes off, until we say, yes, I will die to self, until we check this out, just like a seed has to yield, until we yield to King Jesus, that skin of sin cannot begin to come off, which means we cannot get to the growth. We can't experience the newness of life. Look at what Jesus said in John 12. He said, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. And then look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, and you may not know, this is basically the Apostle Paul kind of borrowing Jesus' words and kind of playing on those words that we just read in John 12 a little bit. Paul says, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. It's got to die first. We have to die to ourselves first in order to live for Christ. And if we're just looking for comfort in life, we'll never truly follow Christ. But if we will yield to King Jesus, allow him to plant us and cultivate our lives, removing that skin of sin, we can begin to have joy and hope and peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on, somebody, we can bear fruit for the glory of God in our world, in our communities. He's called us to reach, to live as Christ, to die as gain. That seed, it has got to yield, to germinate and grow. Now, I think about the seed. In order for the skin to come off, it's got to go down in the dark soil. That's like our lives too, right? Every one of us has been through these different seasons in life. You might be in one right now. You might have just come out of one. If you just came out of one, or you're in one right now, or you're like, I've never been in one of those. There's probably one coming really soon, right? A dark season. You ever been in one of those seasons where you're like, Jesus, I am down like in the dirt right now. Why are you allowing this, God? I cannot imagine why you would allow this, God. And then you hear that voice of the Holy Spirit say, so you can grow, so you can bloom. So something new and something fresh can begin to build and happen in your life so that you can bring my beauty to this world. So I just ask today, like a seed has to yield, are you yielded to the Lord, Momentum Church? In every way, a seed's got to yield. I love to wrestle with my son. Any dads that wrestle with the sons in the room, come on, don't worry about like allegations or anything. You can, it's okay, it's okay. You can. Anybody wrestle with their son? Okay, yeah. I just see dads doing this. Most of them scared to raise their hand. So I love to wrestle with my son. The problem is he's getting bigger. He's 16 now, and he's still skinny, but he's starting to put on some muscle. And I'm only saying this because he's not in the room. If he was in the room, I would not admit what I'm about to admit. But just a couple weeks ago, we were wrestling, and I had my first ever like, uh-oh. Oh, what just happened? Like, he got me. He got me, right? And I thought about screaming for my wife to help me, but I didn't do that. I stayed strong, y'all, but he actually got me. When he was a little kid, though, it was different, right? When he's a little kid, it's more just playing, and I remember when he's a little kid, I'm like, I gotta let him win every once in a while. I gotta let him kind of taste victory every once in a while. But also when he's a little kid, sometimes, how many dads know, you're like, this is an opportunity to press a little harder until he yields, until he yields. Sometimes that's how God teaches us, right? He teaches us with really hard things. He teaches us to yield. And so what is God maybe speaking to you today? And you're going, I need to yield in that area of life. Like, you've been expecting God to do something miraculous, to take care of something, to get you through something, and it hasn't happened like you thought it would, and you've been so upset, maybe even upset at God, that thing hasn't happened. And I'm just here to say today, like, maybe that thing hasn't happened because you haven't yielded to God yet in that area. A seed's got to yield. Okay, here's the third thing. And this one seems so obvious, but I'm shocked how many times I catch myself literally doing this and how many times I talk to somebody in the church and they're doing this, okay? It just seems like the most duh point, but we need to say it. Okay, so here's number three. If you eat the seed, you can't sow it. And God can't grow it. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you eat the seed, you can't sow it and God can't grow it. This is a big deal. I think we have a tendency sometimes, look up here, to think that the fruit is the seed. I think we get this backwards sometimes. Like God brings a harvest and we go, oh, look, and we eat the seed. But we need to know these things are different. The fruit is not the seed. If you mistake the fruit to be the seed, you won't sow the seed. So let's talk about money for a second. Our resources, that's one of the seeds God has given us, right? One of the four that the Bible identifies as seed, okay? What happens today is a lot of people don't trust God with their finances, with their resources, because they see their finances, their money, their resources as fruit, not as seed. Okay, and so as long as you see your resources as fruit, not as seed, of course, this is what you'll do. You'll go, I gotta get more fruit. I gotta make more money. I need more fruit. This is my fruit. Steve, get your eyes off my fruit. This is my fruit. Why are you looking at my fruit, right? Get away from my fruit. Of course, if you misidentify what God has blessed you with as fruit, that fruit's bruised, right? Like you'll, and then your whole life becomes, I gotta work harder to get more fruit. I gotta do this to get more fruit. Versus, it's a completely different mentality when you see this as a seed, right? And here's why. Here's why it's so important that we understand this. Fruit only gets about this big. Have you noticed that? That right there is about as big as a lemon's gonna get. And so we're trusting God, we're believing for something big and miraculous and amazing, but we're misidentifying these two things. Fruit only grows about this much, but if you'll see the seed in the fruit, you'll start to realize in the kingdom you have an infinite amount of fruit, an infinite unending potential for God to grow fruit in your life. And this is why so many people struggle when it comes to the seed of their resources and trusting God with that. It's because they see it as their fruit to eat rather than their seed to sow so God can grow. Do you see how that works? Major, major difference between those two ways of thinking. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, okay, so God supplies everything we need, is what that's saying, will supply and multiply your fruit for eating. Is that what it says? Look at the scripture closely. That's not what it says. It says he will multiply your seed for sowing, and he will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so you can hoard it all and just have an amazing life with a big house. No, it says you'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. So I always like to think of it this way. It's kind of like when God was talking to Abraham. He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to everyone. I like to think we're river people. God blesses us with a seed. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed. And we just sow the seed and it flows right to us, but also right through us, right? We're not dam people. But so many Christians today are dam Christians. We're called to be river Christians. Flows to me, flows through me. Not dam Christians where it flows to me, I build a dam, I dam it all up, and I keep it all for myself. Right. We're not dam people. You're not a dam Christian. You're a river Christian, okay? Hopefully I get invited back after that. Okay. Now all I'm saying is so many people mistake and think that God gives us fruit to hoard, but he doesn't. He gives us seed to sow. So be careful. Don't eat the seed. Don't eat the seed. Okay. Look at Matthew 13. Here's something else Jesus said. I told y'all there's going to be a lot about farming and seeds today. It's like, okay, Jesus, we get it. You like gardening. Okay. Here's what he said. He said, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came, devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up. Since they had no depth of soil, though, when the sun rose, they were just scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Okay, so you don't have to be a good gardener or a good farmer to understand what's happening here, right? The first seeds he's talking about, they get sowed into really bad soil. So really bad results happen. But then it says, other seeds fell on what, church? Good soil. Good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the fourth thing we've got to know about the seed God gives us is a seed needs good soil. It's not enough to just haphazardly sow the seed. A seed needs good soil. Good soil will equal good growth in your life. And seed carries design, but it's the soil the seed goes into that determines the development of that design. And so we have to understand the connection, not just between the difference between seed and fruit, but the connection between seed and the soil, the good soil. I'll explain it this way. Several years ago, I think it's been about 8 years, my wife wanted to do like a legit garden, okay? Like big enough, you know, we could feed the whole street. So I'm like, I got you. And I went and I bought fire rings because I wanted her to have like a perfect little ring for each individual kind of vegetable or fruit she was going to grow. And we have a raw materials place across the street from our church. So I went over there after work one day. I was like, fill my entire truck bed up with soil. And they were like, what kind? I said, the cheapest soil you got, because this is costing me so much money already with the fire rings and everything. So they loaded it up, took it home. I wheelbarrowed from the driveway to the very back of the property, like I think it was 5 yards of soil, like my arms hurt, and I was so proud. Look at what I just did for my wife. She's gonna love me forever. And she planted her garden, and guess what happened? Nothing grew, because I had bought fill dirt, because I said just the cheapest dirt, and it had chunks of rock and waste and concrete in it. And over the course of the year, like every time it rained, it would pack that cheap soil down a little tight. It basically turned it into concrete. I'm like, I don't know why anything's growing. I took a shovel, ping, ping, right? Basically concrete. So the next year comes around, she's like, let's do a garden and don't be cheap on me. I need you to get actual gardening soil. First punishment, I had to go get all the now concrete out of the fire rings. And then I went and I'm like, all right, gentlemen, load it up with good soil. They loaded the truck up and I put all the soil in the fire rings, and she's had an amazing garden for 7 or 8 years now. And this year, no joke, her garden yielded thousands of jalapenos, y'all, thousands and thousands. I've had heartburn for months. Y'all pray for me. She's been cooking jalapenos into everything, y'all. But the point of that story is that so many people, they scatter the good seed God has given them on really bad soil. And maybe they're fooled into thinking it's good soil, but maybe it's just kind of haphazard. Maybe there's just no purpose or thinking or prayer behind it. But I want to encourage you, Momentum Church, you've got some really good soil here to sow into. You've got an incredible opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. You've got good soil, not just good soil, the best soil. Like God has amazing promises for us as his family, but listen, you're the manager of the seed. God blesses you with the seed, but you manage the seed. You decide what soil the seed is going into. You decide when you're going to sow, how much you're going to sow, how much you're going to trust God. Got to bring the growth, but the seed's got to go into the right soil. Bad soil, not much growth. Good soil, good growth. Bad soil, doesn't matter how good the seed is. It's not going to grow. And I just wanted to remind you today, Momentum Church is really good, special soil. You got incredible leaders here, a strong vision here. You own some amazing property. And I know y'all are eyeballing that future building. That's good soil to sow into. I just think about this area and how God is growing it and what's happening. There are so many people that need the Lord here where y'all live. You have amazing opportunity. I mean, the harvest is so ripe, but unless you sow into good soil, there'll never be a harvest. I think last night, a guy named Paul was my Uber driver, took me over to my hotel, and I just started talking to him. He doesn't have a church, doesn't know the Lord. He's kind of a disgruntled, you know, doesn't love, just so frustrated by what he sees in the world today. And I just talked to him a little, and I realized, like, after talking to him, he's never around any positive people. I hope he's here. I invited him to church. I just gave him an invitation. I told him, here's the campuses, here's the times. I think you'll find some really, really cool, special people that you could really love and that you'll be encouraged. And I'm just trying to show you, like, you have massive upward opportunity for what God wants to do here in your communities, okay? You got so many people to share the gospel with. Good soil, good growth. Good growth. And I see it happening. And your pastors see it happening, which is why they'll continue to push on you a little bit. And they'll continue to remind you, it's time to move forward. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Okay, here's the last thing. I'll take you to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to ask the band to come up. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Did you know if you plant apple seeds, you will not grow lemons? Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, God knows just the right time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Great harvest of fruit, right? If we don't give up. So the last thing about a seed is that it's got to be harvested. It's got to be harvested. We sow a natural seed given to us by God that produces a supernatural harvest. So here's the thing. It could be different for everybody in the room. This is where the Holy Spirit gets to do his job, and he's really good at it, isn't he? If you'll just open your heart a little bit and allow him to move. I don't know what kind of seed you're holding on to. Honestly, that's between you and God. But I do know it's time for you to put it in the dirt, whatever it is. It's time to trust God with it. It's time to do what Jesus has called us to do, to live as he's called us to live faith-filled lives. It's time to be obedient to God. It's time to trust him, even over our own logic, if necessary. It's time to let go of control when necessary and let God take over. What were those seeds? Our money, the word of God, our actions, and the Holy Spirit. And what we do today in our lives changes not just our lives today, but generations to come. You know that, right? Something supernatural happens. And at just the right time, we reap a harvest of blessing if we sow as God has led us to. Would you just pray with me? Father, I pray that you would just speak to us right now about the seeds we're holding on to, the seeds we've not trusted you with, the opportunity and growth that has been missed out on because of that. Father, thank you that you produce something special and supernatural in and through our lives. And thank you that you've called us to be a part of that process. God, thank you that if we'll just sow it and trust you in faith, you'll grow it. You'll bring the change. You'll bring the growth. We trust you to do that today. And we surrender to you, God. Some of us have not been faithful to your word. God, teach us to obey you. Help us to have a desire to know you through the reading of your word, the proclamation of your word by our pastors each and every day. God, some of us haven't trusted you with the seed of our money and our resources. Thank you that you have blessed us. We live in one of the most, I can say this about my church and Momentum Church, we live in two of the most blessed states in the most blessed country in the entire world. Help us to understand we are blessed to be a blessing. We are river people. God, some of us haven't trusted you with the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have pressed back on the Holy Spirit. You have brought maybe conviction, or you have brought a special revelation about what we're called to do, or somebody we're called to present the gospel to, and we've held back for whatever reason. Father, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to trust you with that seed. And then last, God, our actions, our decisions. We pray that you would use us in very mighty and powerful ways so that the whole world can know who you are. And as you just talk to God about the specific seed, I pray that you could really hone in on one that he's just kind of talking to you about. I just want to say for a second that if you don't know Jesus Christ, we read in John 12 that God planted Jesus as a seed for us, and we are his harvest of souls. So I just want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you allowed him to redeem your soul? Have you accepted his perfect sacrifice for your sin? Do you know Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here in Pensacola, some of our guys out in Blackwater, church in Navarre. You can't deny that God brought you here not by accident, but totally on purpose today, to have this very moment where you say yes to Jesus. If that's you, if you know you need to say yes to Jesus today, can I just encourage you? Don't wait. Take that step. Take that step today. Don't delay. The devil will give you so many reasons, right? He'll say you're not ready, you don't know enough, you've barely even gone to church your entire life, you don't even know what books are in the Bible. You can't quote any Bible verses. That's okay. None of that is required to place your faith in Jesus. That all comes later. This moment is about a fresh start, a new beginning that will then result in this momentum that will take you through the rest of your life where your faith grows stronger and stronger. But have you had that starting point? The Bible says it's simple. It's as simple as saying yes to God. That's it. Jesus already finished all the work. If that's you, can I just ask you to do something? In a moment of courage, if you're ready to say yes to him today, I'm gonna count to three. I just want you to raise your hand and we're gonna pray with you. I'm not gonna have you come up here or talk in the mic or anything like that. Just a quick public declaration that you're saying yes to Jesus on three. One, because God loves you. Two, because he made a way through his only son, Jesus. Three, if that's you, just put your hand up real quick. Just say yes, Jesus. In Navarre, you can lift your hand. Blackwater, lift your hand here in Pensacola if that's you. Awesome. It's incredible. And we love to pray with you. Can we all pray this together? Heavenly Father, I surrender and I say yes to Jesus. He is Lord. He is King. He is leader. He is Savior. I thank you for his blood. I thank you for his cross. I trust his resurrection and I repent from my sin. God, would you make me new? Would you use me, Lord? Teach me and change me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? Come on, let's give him a shout of praise for what he's doing today. Amen. Amen.